our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
And have you seen all the pictures of Tony Romo looking super fat?
Let's not do this.
Oh, come on.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. Yes, because we all know how important it is when in the preseason, oh, he's coming in the best shape of his life. That always turns out great. So I don't care if this guy turns up fat. He's going to get in the game shape.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Eli is a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I am a diehard Washington Redskins fan. So there should be some homerism in this episode.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 77 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this episode is Eli Rosenzweig. Eli, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Considering we're doing the NFC East, I say we skip the two shitty teams and just talk about the Giants and the
Eagles.
Eagles, exactly.
Yeah, this is our home divisions for those of you who don't know. Eli is a Dallas Cowboys fan, and I am a diehard Washington Redskins fan. So there should be some homerism in this episode. On Monday, you'll hear the episode that I will be recording with Mike and Christopher Welsh of the In This League podcast network. And Mike will get a chance to have some homerism because we'll be talking about the NFC South there.
I don't know if we're going to have much homerism. I feel like we're both just like depressed with our teams and we're probably just going to shit on them. So it's like anti-homerism.
It's hard because like I watched the Redskins game last night. So like I saw some things to me that were like, oh, God. That is not going to be good.
I am not talking. If you mention one thing about preseason football when we talk about the Redskins, I'm turning off this podcast.
Well, it's a good thing we're covering that team last. So then I can just kind of go solo at that point. Let's jump right in, though, and talk about your Dallas Cowboys. Let's start with Tony Romo. I feel like Tony Romo is a little bit underrated this year. Where are your thoughts on Tony Romo coming into this season?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think he's always underrated. People knock him for his health, and yeah, he's had a couple years where he's missed a big chunk of the season. But for the most part, he does stick in there and play a lot most of the season. And when he does, he's always a top 10 guy. He's never going to be a top 5 guy, but he's never going to let you down. He's just a starter you can plug in there week after week when he's on the field, and he's going to give you solid numbers. You're never going to complain. He always gets underdrafted. He's the perfect QB2 because he slides in drafts because people don't like him, even though he's a stud. So I usually have Romo on every single one of my teams.
Yeah, I'm going to have him in a number of my leagues, except for the ones that I think you and I are in together. You took him in the 3-sport draft that we've been doing. I was hoping to lock him up as my backup. I have him as my number 11 quarterback. You have him as your number 14. Even though those numbers aren't necessarily right next to each other, I don't think there's a huge difference between, right. After Tom Brady and then, probably your 15th or 16th quarterback. So
the reason why I had him ranked a little lower, even though I do like him, is just that I feel like he's got, what does he have other than Dez? I mean, Williams and Beasley are, they're whatever, they're fine. But, and Witten is still solid, but he's not like exactly a touchdown machine. And I do think with the Elliott draft pick, they're going to be running a shit ton, kind of like they did a couple years ago with DeMarco Murray. So I do think Romo's numbers may take a little bit of a dip. And also, the guy is like 36 now, so, and coming off, numerous injuries. So I don't think it's going to be a monster year for him.
And have you seen all the pictures of Tony Romo looking super fat?
Let's not do this.
Oh, come on.
Yes, because we all know how important it is when in the preseason, oh, he's coming in the best shape of his life. That always turns out great. So I don't care if this guy turns up fat. He's going to get into game shape. He's still going to be Tony Romo. Get out of here.
At 36, it's 36, it's not like he needs to be known for his legs.
Yeah, like, he's also a guy he's not fast, but he's really, he can move really well around the pocket. He evades tacklers. He extends plays. So I don't think that's going to change, even if he puts on a couple pounds.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott. I've had some major disagreements, at least rankings-wise, with you and Mike Warner about where he should be taken in drafts. What are your thoughts on Ezekiel Elliott this year?
You know, I know where you're coming from. This is a really strange one. Have you had the situation where, I don't know, I just feel like this was one of the hardest guys to rank I've ever had in my life as a ranker in any of the positions. It's just really difficult. I just feel like the competition behind him is not all that special. McFadden and Morris, yeah, they're fine, but are they healthy? Who knows? They're both aging. They drafted Elliott crazy early. He's really talented. 2 years ago, they just ran the ball over and over and over again. I just feel like that's what they have to do. Their defense isn't that good, so you need to stay on the field as long as you can, and you do that by running. They have a talented running back. They got one of the best lines in football. Like I said, the receiving core is not special, so I just feel like they got to pound that rock, and I think Elliott's going to have a lot of opportunity. And it's a good offense, so you got to think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I had to actually look when you said that Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden are aging. I mean, I know Darren McFadden obviously is.
Yeah, I guess Morris is not that old, but he doesn't.
He's not that young either, though. He's 27, which in NFL running back terms isn't necessarily super young. I had to look up his age.
Yeah, true. It had basically four straight years of pretty heavy workload. I mean, a lot of time, like, that's kind of what Ray Rice had. He was a stud for 4 years, and then he fell off a goddamn cliff, so. It's not like Morris was great last year, so he may not have a ton left in the tank. He's still a decent backup, but
yeah, my whole issue with Elliott is one, he's hurt. I mean, you know, he hurt the hamstring. You never know how much that's going to linger. I had him pretty low though, even before the injury. I think I had him about 10 or 11, and then I dropped him to 12 in my running back ranks. Not overall, people. I do not have him in my top overall 12. I don't have him in my top 10 running backs. And I know that that's a harsh ranking. But at the same time, I'm not 100% sure of his role. I think a lot of people are just assuming because he was the fourth overall pick that he is going to be the guy automatically. And I don't think that's necessarily a guarantee. I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys line is as good as we saw a few years ago.
Oh, I think you're wrong on that one. I think you're incredibly wrong on that one.
And I told you kind of off air in our football chat that, you know, if he shows me something in preseason, if he looks like the, you know, the next coming, like Mike has said he is and other people have said he is, then I probably would bust him up. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's a rookie. He needs to prove it. And I'm not going to pin my hopes of my draft by having to take him in the first round, which is where you have to take him.
Yeah, that's fair. It is a very scary pick to be making with your first pick, a guy that hasn't played the NFL yet, and a guy you don't know how many touches he's going to get. But I think you're wrong on the line. I mean, you could make a case he had the best tackle in football, the best guard in football, and the best center in football. And if they're not the best, they're quite close. I mean, that line is insane.
All right. What do you think the value of Alfred Morris is this year?
I don't know. I mean, like, if McFadden
is he a handcuff, I mean, or is it
do they have two handcuffs? Because, you know, McFadden was significantly better than Morris last year, and I know McFadden's banged up right now, but I almost feel like all three need to be rostered.
Yeah, and I think that's a situation I just don't want any part of.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but
I mean, you know, if I see, you know, and I liked Alfred Morris as a Redskin, and I think he is a talented running back, but I think he's a bruiser. I think he can be a plotter at times. He doesn't move laterally real well. I think if McFadden is available late in my draft, even if I don't have Elliott, I'm just going to scoop him up just to be on the safe side. Like I said, Elliott is dealing with hamstring issues. You never know how those are going to linger. You never know how a rookie is going to hold up to, you know, week-to-week pounding in the NFL.
They're both going crazy late, McFadden and Morris. So, like you said, even if you don't have Elliott towards the end of your draft, why not just take one and see what happens?
Let's move on and talk about the Dallas wide receivers. Dez Bryant, where do you have him in your ranks?
Good question. I have him at 6, which you had as well, and the same as Mike.
Do you think that makes him a late first-round pick?
I suppose. I probably wouldn't be taking him there, though.
What are your thoughts on him this year, then?
I mean, he's obviously a stud. He's got a good quarterback throwing to him. He has a little bit of a head case, and he does get nicked up from time to time, so that's always a concern. But, you know, for the most part, when he's in there, he's easily one of the 10 best receivers, and he's going to get a ton of targets because, like I said before, I just don't think Williams and Beasley are very good. They're more like slot kind of receivers. They don't really have a true number two, so Dez is going to get a ton of work. And it's just when you get that much work and you take that much of a pounding, it's tough to stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I love Dez Bryant. I don't know if, like, if he's one of my top two picks, I don't know how great I feel about that. I mean, I think I have him. I'm trying to look at my overall ranks. I have him as my 10th pick. Like, this is the year I do not want to, like, be drafting at the end of a draft.
Why is everyone on this team just, like, petrifying to own? And Dan Bailey's the only guy that I'm like, yep, I'll take him on my team. I don't have to worry. Otherwise, I worry about all these guys.
Yeah, I think I actually, moving on to a different wide receiver, I kind of like Terrence Williams and his value. I know he's streaky. I know he has not shown up in the way that a lot of us thought he would, especially the Dallas Cowboys. But at the same time, you're paying absolutely nothing for him.
Yeah, I get it. He's never been a top 40 guy. So, I mean, I guess he still has a little bit of upside, but for the most part, he probably is like a 60 catch, 800 yard kind of guy with a couple long touchdowns. I don't know. If Dez got hurt last year, and
I think he needs Dez Bryant though. Like, he's not one of those guys that.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Dez takes the attention away. So.
Yeah, I think he needs Dez Bryant in the lineup. Here's the thing for me. He is so underrated, and we are in round 54 of our three-sport draft. So pretty much at least half the teams have already filled up their football team.
And we start three receivers, so it's...
Yeah, and we start three receivers and a flex. Terrence Williams is still on the board.
Yeah, if I were to guess, around 60 receivers have been taken at this point. Actually, yeah, so it's possible more than that, actually.
And you've got multiple people from the Friends of Fantasy Benefits organization in this league. So, I mean, he's just going extremely late. He's worth the flyer.
Yeah, you're right, because he's not going to kill you. I mean, even if he doesn't take a step forward, what, is he a top 50 guy and you got him?
Yeah, if he doesn't produce in the first few weeks, you drop him and go grab someone else. You know, whoever the hot pickup of the week is. But I think he's worth a last round pick in 12-team leagues.
You know who the hot pick of the week is going to be? Brian Quick.
Thanks, buddy. You just got to get one of those in on every podcast, don't you?
I really have found a way to get him in there every time.
Well, the NFC West podcast is coming up here probably next week. So let's go ahead and talk about Jason Witten. The name value alone makes me think he is a top 15 tight end. But is he really?
I think so. I actually have him 18, but I mean, he's about as safe as it gets. I know he's older and his skills are diminishing a little bit, but it's Romo's safety valve. It's either Dez or Witten in the passing game virtually every time. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns. They don't look for him in the red zone that much, but when it's third down, they always look for Witten, and he's pretty damn reliable in terms of getting open. So if you want, I mean, there are a lot of tight ends that if they don't score your touchdown, they get you nothing. With Witten, he pretty much gives you a little something every single week. So, I mean, if you feel like you're an underdog, maybe you go for a different tight end that could score you a touchdown. But if you think you're the favorite, you just need like 5-6 points from your tight end, I think Witten's a guy that I like to put in my lineup. He's definitely a tight end too, and I think he should be rostered.
Yeah, I just don't think there's a huge difference between probably tight end number, I don't know, 18 for me and like tight end 30. You know, for me, these are all waiver wire guys unless you're in an extremely deep format. Just pick up one off the waiver wire when your bye week comes up to replace your Barnage, your Kelce, or you know whoever else you drafted as your starter. The only time I really like drafting a tight end is either when I draft a guy like Tyler Eifert, who is probably going to miss the first game or could miss the first game of the season, or if I in the three sport league, for instance, I drafted Charles Clay and Clive Walford. I draft kind of two lower end tight ends, hoping one of them will hit.
Yeah, Witten was 12th among tight ends last year. He had 77 catches for over 700 yards. I mean, what's going to change from last year? Yeah, he's a year older, but I mean, it's not like
Dez Bryant's back.
Yeah, I don't think much changes.
A renewed effort onto the running game.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think he's pretty reliable. He's not going to have a huge dip in performance.
He's super old.
Okay, you know what? Just stop criticizing. I wish I could criticize your tight end, but your tight end is pretty good. So,
well, we'll have an interesting conversation about my tight end, but that's a little bit of a teaser for now because we're moving on to the New York Giants. Eli Manning. Okay. Overrated, underrated, or just about right?
Probably slightly underrated. People shit on Eli Manning, and, you know, it's fun. It's just kind of, it's just like it's fun to make fun of Romo, it's fun to make fun of Eli. Yeah, he's not as good as two Super Bowls would indicate, but he does throw a lot. He's got a pretty good receiving core. He's got one of the best in the game in Beckham. He's got some young talents that he can throw to. They're going to be behind. They're the type of offense that they're in shootouts all the time because their defense kind of stinks. So they put up big games, and Eli's kind of like Romo, except probably a little bit more reliable at this point.
Yeah, I have him as my number 15th ranked quarterback.
Yeah, what's with that, man?
I feel like I need to move him up, but like for instance, you know, I just said, like, there's no the difference between number 17 tight end, number 30 tight end for me is so little. The difference between, like, number 10 quarterback it for me and number, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 really isn't that far apart.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's reasonable.
Like, you know, if I'm having to choose between Eli Manning and Ryan Tannehill, Eli Manning and Tyrod Taylor, I'm flipping a coin. You know, I think Eli Manning's a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor, but Tyrod Taylor gets extra points from running. So it's, you know, and I hate that offensive line in New York. Like,
yeah.
They did not do much to protect him. Like, they went out and they spent their first-round pick on Eli Apple, quarterback.
Great name.
Yeah, obviously. When they really needed some offensive line help and reached on Apple. Apple was, like, considered, like, maybe, like, a top 20 prospect, not a top 10 guy. So I just don't like what they've done with the offensive line or the lack of doing something with the offensive line. I worry about, will he have enough time for things to develop downfield, or is he just going to be chucking it up to Odell Beckham?
I just feel like he's the perfect QB1 that you can wait on and not have to reach for a quarterback. He threw 618 passes last year, 4,500 yards, 35 touchdowns, and he has limited his interceptions a little bit recently, so that's at least encouraging. I just think he's gonna put up QB1 numbers for sure, and you don't have to really pay the price for it.
And I think that's fair. Like I said, I have Tony Romo at 11. Do I think the difference between Tony Romo and Eli Manning is very different? No. Could I end up swapping them at some point before the start of the season in my ranks? Possibly. But I think he's solid. I think especially if you're in a deeper format, if you're in a 14-man league and you want to wait on quarterback, I'm taking the last out of like that tier, you know, who's still available. And if Eli Manning's the guy, Eli Manning's the guy. If Romo's the guy, Romo's the guy. If Tannehill is that guy, or Marcus Mariota, that's who I'm going for. Let's go ahead and talk about the running back situation, because, God, is it a fucking mess.
Yeah, why
as it was last year.
Yeah, last year really was brutal. This year it's going to be probably much of the same. I think maybe we should give Rashad Jennings a little bit more credit. Yeah, he's like the least sexy running back pick ever, but he's been pretty consistently their main guy for the most part, and he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, nothing wrong with that, and it's not like he's got a lot of competition behind him, so I think you're probably going to get value.
Not worried about Paul Perkins?
I think a little. He's more of like a Sproles type, so I think he definitely gets some work, but we're still talking about a fifth-round rookie and a guy that's not going to take an every-down kind of role, so I do think Jennings is still going to get the bulk of the look, and for the price that he's going, I think it's perfectly reasonable. It's a safe RB3 pick.
I agree with you. I think especially if you're getting him at as an RB3 price and you're waiting on that, then I think he's a totally fair, fine pick. I think their team is going to throw the ball quite a bit, so he might even take a little bit of a backseat to what the offense is going to do this year. But he's a guy who can catch, you know, 30 to 40 balls. So in PPR formats, he has a little bit of value too. I think he is what he is, but at this point, that's the best they have, because Shane Vereen isn't that great, and who knows what we'll get from Paul Perkins.
All I got to say is free Orleans Darkwa. That's all I got to say.
Let's move into the exciting part of this team. That is the wide receiver core. They get Odell Beckham some help, because Victor Cruz is pretty much done. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have a differing opinion on Cruz?
No, I mean, how long has it been at this point? Monitor his health, I suppose, but for the most part, I think he's done.
Like I said, last year when he came back from that torn patellar tendon, I've had that injury and I know what it can do to kind of your side to side movement, which is what made Victor Cruz great. Like, his shiftiness. I don't expect him to ever kind of return to that pre-injury form. Let's talk about Odell Beckham. Is he the number one wide receiver in football?
No, I think he's number two, but I wouldn't argue whatsoever. He's had, probably the best start to a career in the history of football, basically. So I don't have an issue with that. I still think Antonio Brown is a little bit better. So flip a coin, but Brown's done it for a little bit longer, and he's probably got a better quarterback throwing to him. He's probably going to get a shit ton of targets. I'm sure Beckham will as well, but whatever. Brown's number one.
I think if I felt safe about Beckham staying healthy, then I would say that Beckham is number one. Because the upside is so great. When he's on the field, I think he is the best wide receiver in football. The problem is he's not always on the field. It's the Julio Jones argument that I had last year of why I wasn't taking him so long is because he hasn't yet proven that that he can stay on the field the whole time. And of course, then he goes out. Jones goes out and does that, and Beckham will probably go out and do that this year. I have him as my number two ranked wide receiver, as does pretty much everybody except for Mike Warner, who has him as his number three. Brown just becomes the guy, the number one guy, because he's just so consistent. He's been doing it for so long, and he stays on the field virtually every season. Sterling Shepard, what are your thoughts on him?
Well, I've said it many times. I'm not a big fan of rookie receivers. However, this might be an exception. I just think Beckham's going to get so much attention. They're going to throw a ton. He was a first-round pick. I think he's a good complement to Beckham. He's not exactly a burner or a big guy. He's more of like a route runner, just find the crease kind of guy. I think that's going to fit well. He's going to get a lot of targets. He may not score a ton of touchdowns, but who else are they going to throw to? Like you said, Victor Cruz is probably not going to be healthy, and the rest of the receiving core is pretty lackluster.
Yeah, I think there is a very high likelihood that this is the number one rookie wide receiver this year.
Yeah, he does seem to be in the best position at this point.
I mean, I think, he's moving into that number two role. He's got a fantastic guy on the opposite side of him that will take the defense's attention away. I think he is kind of exactly fits the mold of what they need, from him. And he looks has looked great in training camp. I'm really looking forward to seeing him on the field. I have him as my number 52 ranked wide receiver. You're a little bit higher at 41. And then, a couple of our other rankers. I can't believe I'm so low on him compared to the consensus. I'm by far the lowest.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that ranking.
So, yeah, maybe I move him up quite a bit here. But, I'd probably move him above Coleman, who I have at 47. So maybe he moves up into kind of the top 40 for me. Any interest in Will Tye this year?
No, I don't think he's all that better than Laird Donnell. I think they're both average, slightly above average. I suppose Ty's got a chance if he totally claims that job, because they're going to throw a lot, but I'm just, he's a tight end too.
I think that's fair. There were some people who were like, oh, this is his chance to shine. He's going to, and I don't think he's anything special.
Yeah.
So he does have the opportunity, because they really, until Victor Cruz can be healthy, they don't really have a number three wide receiver. So
it's true.
Let's go ahead and move on to the Philadelphia Eagles. Is there a team that's more depressing to talk about? I guess the Niners is probably pretty depressing. I feel like I'm not excited about any of these options.
Bunch of disappointing guys that should have been, we all thought would be better than they are, basically.
Yeah. Are you interested in Sam Bradford or Carson Wentz?
No, is that the right answer? Because I think it's...
Yeah, I agree. I think quarterback is so deep this year. I mean, outside of Wentz obviously has some appeal in Dynasty League, and they've got Bradford, so they're going to try to play him first. I think there's a good chance that Bradford gets benched at some point for Wentz. So in a redraft league, there's nothing. I don't know if there's a league deep enough where I'm really interested in either of them.
I know, like Bradford, he had his opportunity last year. If he couldn't do it with Chip Kelly and in a decent offense, then what chance did he have here? I just think that's it for him. He was never all that special with St. Louis. I mean, he was talented. He put up some decent numbers, but
he can't stay healthy. Yeah, like this. Exactly. Speaking of bad offensive lines. Like, I was just talking about the Giants. The Eagles do not have a good one either. This could be really ugly for him at some point. I'm trying to see where I have him ranked. Let's see. I have him ranked as my number 30th. You have him ranked as your number 29th. So, in a 12-team or even 14-team league, that's undraftable.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and move on. Talk about the running back situation over there in Philadelphia. This is one of the interesting parts of the Eagles. Ryan Matthews is a starter. They draft Wendell Smallwood. They still have Darren Sproles. Why are people so low on Ryan Matthews?
I know. He is the only clear three-down kind of first and second-down runner. Sproles is Sproles. He's going to do what he always does. He'll have some value, obviously, way more in PPR. Smallwood is kind of like Sproles.
I think Smallwood can handle a little bit larger role than Sproles, but yeah. I don't think he is an every down back by any sense of imagination. Without them, with them not bringing in a running back to kind of pair with Matthews as a first and second down bruiser, it's his role, and that's one of the few running backs in the NFL that has a role all to himself.
I kind of view this kind of similar to the Giants situation. I mean, yeah, he's not very exciting like Jennings, but he's a veteran. He's been pretty solid throughout his career, and he doesn't have a lot of competition. So, yeah, it's not. No one's going to be like, ooh, great pick with Ryan Matthews, but these days, there's not a lot of reliable running backs out there, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I really like him. What are your thoughts on Wendell Smallwood? Do you think he earns a larger role throughout the season?
I could see maybe a second half value from time to time, but I think Matthews is going to get the bulk of the work, and Sproles is still going to, be somewhat valuable as well. So I don't think there's room here for three running backs that can be started in fantasy. Not right.
I don't think so either. But Smallwood could get a shot if Ryan Matthews, does as Ryan Matthews sometimes does. And gets injured.
Yeah, I drafted Sproles and Smallwood actually at the end of my bench in three sports. I'm hoping that maybe something happens there, but I'm not all that optimistic, to be honest.
That is fair. Let's talk about the wide receiver core in Philadelphia. Jordan Matthews, there are some people that still love him. I think, in that camp. Some people who just hate him. What are your thoughts on Matthews?
I really like him. It's partly because they don't really have a whole lot else. They're also going to be down a lot, I think. They're going to throw a lot. I'm not an Aguilar fan. I think he's hot garbage, although I do think he has a chance to come out of it. I think he's a guy to monitor, but I think Matthews is the clear. He's kind of like Jarvis Landry to me. He's just going to get a ton of targets. He may not score a million touchdowns. He may not have a lot of long catches, but he's going to get a lot of work and put up fairly consistent like 8-point outings for you.
Yeah, last 3 weeks of the season, he scored at least 16 points in standard formats. He wasn't a guy that you could rely on week in and week out during the season like you did in 2014. But he really started to kind of get back into his groove. Hopefully I think he will kind of jump right back into it, and I think he'll be a more reliable wide receiver. He's currently going, kind of towards the back end of the top 20 at wide receiver, and I think that's pretty decent value.
Yeah, 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games, so like you said, he really did finish strong. I think it could be a pretty nice year for him.
Is there any other wide receiver on this team that is interesting to you at all? I mean, you have guys like Reuben Randall, the former Giants wide receiver, Miles Austin, Riley Cooper, any of these guys interesting?
Well, I think Randall and Aguilar both could be pretty decent. I don't think there's going to be room for all three, so Hopefully one of them emerges over the other. Where do you view these two guys? Do you think one of them could break out a little bit?
I think if one of them's going to break out, it's Aguilar.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
And I think this year you're getting an amazing value on him.
Yeah, that's true. People are really sour on him right now.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's because last year everybody was high on him. And, you know, he was one of those guys that was, you know, I wasn't touching last year. This year I think you get enough value in order to take a shot on him. He could be like your last wide receiver on your bench. Let's take a break and we'll be back right after this.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right, let's finish up with Zach Ertz on the Philadelphia Eagles before we move to the Washington Redskins. Is Zach Ertz a top 10 tight end for you?
I have him just outside the top 10, but he's certainly he's pretty reliable, pretty consistent. He's going to get a good amount of work. He's solid. I think outside like the top seven tight ends, you may as well just wait because like you said, like 8 through 17 are fairly similar. So yeah, I'd be happy with Ertz, but I'd also be happy waiting a couple rounds later and getting someone else.
Yeah, I think outside of, depending on what you think of Eifert, I know some people are, you know, Mike especially, he's a little bit lower on Eifert because of the injury issues coming into the season. You're outside of your top six or seven, the rest of the guys are like, okay, whatever. You know, if you like Julius Thomas more than Ertz, that's fine. If you like Ertz more than him, but I don't think there's a huge argument to be made that any of these guys outside the top six or seven are that special outside of, you know, Jimmy Graham, who we don't know what his conditioning level, what his injury prognosis is going to be.
He did have 75 catches for almost.
Let's go ahead and move on to
Justin?
The.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ertz did have 75 catches for almost 900 yards last year. The problem with him was he just didn't get in the end zone, but he was targeted a fair amount of time. So I do think the touchdown production will certainly go up. Maybe the other numbers go down a little bit, but I still think he's going to finish right around the top 10.
Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised at those numbers.
Yeah, I was two touchdowns is crazy, especially when he was targeted ninth among tight ends in the red zone.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, maybe he is a guy that is a little bit underrated. Maybe I should move him up a spot or two in my ranks. Let's move over, though, to the Washington Redskins, the division champion Washington Redskins, the playoff-caliber Washington Redskins. And let's start with Cousins. What are your thoughts on Cousins as a quarterback in fantasy?
I kind of view him similar to Romo. I think Romo might have a better receiving core, but Cousins is more healthy these days and he's coming off a great year. So I think they're right around the same spot for me. I think you're probably higher on them than most, but you know him better than I do. So I'm more interested to see what you think.
This is the classic example for me of what is the difference between a good NFL player and the difference between a good fantasy player. Because Kirk Cousins is not a good NFL quarterback. Just like Tyrod Taylor is not a good NFL quarterback. But in terms of fantasy, their value is greater. He has a ton of weapons. They love to throw the ball in Washington. They're going to continue to do so. They're going to put him in great situations to succeed. I think he's extremely underrated. I have him as a top 10 quarterback this year, which sickens me because as an NFL quarterback for my favorite team, he's absolute garbage.
Man, that's harsh. I think, 18 other teams would gladly take Kirk Cousins right now, at least.
You know, and I, as a Redskins fan, I would gladly take probably 18 other quarterbacks. I do not like Kirk Cousins as an NFL quarterback, but as a fantasy option, I think he is a low-end quarterback one this year.
I guess that's fair. I was probably a little low on him, but again, You said earlier, after, the top 10 quarterbacks, it's all just a big clusterfuck.
Yeah, for me, that, you know, wherever you put Tom Brady, you know, all of us either have kind of him 8 or 9. I think then there's a huge drop off, and Cousins is the beginning of that next tier.
I feel like Brady. There's 10 quarterbacks.
For me, at least.
For me, there's 10 quarterbacks. Eli's last, and then after that, I don't want any part of them, unless they're, I don't know, like Rivers, Romo, Taylor, Cousins, Tannehill, they're all the same.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, like, Mike is on this whole, I'm going to wait forever to take my quarterback. I prefer one of the, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 studs.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk about the running backs in Washington. Here is where I'm going to start mentioning what I saw in the game last night.
Ugh.
First, before I do, though, let's start with Matt Jones. What are your thoughts on Matt Jones this year?
Don't like him. What, like 3.4 yards a carry? I do understand that he's young. He's fairly talented. What round did they draft him in last year?
I think, I want to say it was a 3rd or 4th round pick.
Yeah, so, you know, they have a decent amount invested in him. They also don't have a ton of guys behind him with experience. They got Chris Thompson's whatever. Keith Marshall's also a rookie, and he was a 7th round rookie. So I do think he's going to get every opportunity. I just wasn't impressed with him last year, but, you know, that's his first year. I should probably cut him a little bit of slack. He does seem to have the job right now, so I should probably move him up a little bit, but I just don't think he's that great.
After what I saw last night, I really am encouraged by his fantasy stock, and it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with how pedestrian Keith Marshall looked. I mean, he had no burst. He did not move laterally well. You know, so I was really kind of hoping that Keith Marshall would come out and look great. He's almost 2 full seasons now removed from his ACL injury that he had at Georgia. He was supposed to be a top flight running back in the draft before that injury. I thought that Keith Marshall could be a guy that maybe regained some form and was a really interesting sleeper this year, especially with Matt Jones's fumbling issues. But now I'm thinking Chris Thompson is the handcuff for sure, and that Matt Jones has a pretty entrenched spot in that starting role.
I don't disagree with anything you said. However, I think this is all sabotaging me because I drafted Keith Marshall in our very deep dynasty league, and I think you're just trying to lower his value so you can trade for him.
Well, I don't have Matt Jones in that league, so I don't think that will happen. But I was very disappointed by what I saw, and like part of it was too that, you know, the second string. I think there were members of the second string line in there. He wasn't getting a lot of running room to begin with.
It's also like 5 goddamn carries in the first preseason game.
Oh, no, they gave him a pretty large workload.
I thought he had like 5 carries for like -1 yards or something.
Yeah, well, whatever it was, it was really, maybe it was because I got pissed off and stopped really paying attention. But it was really discouraging. When he did have moments where he had, you know, a chance to make a play, he did not have the burst that I expected to see. So, like I said, for me, I think I think Matt Jones really has a lock on the role, and Thompson probably is the handcuff. And I think Thompson has some sneaky value as like a running back 5 in PPR leagues.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's better than most people think.
Yeah. Let's move into the wide receiver core. They have got a ton of guys. You know, one of the best wide receiver cores probably in the NFL, at least complete. Is this a team that benefits from that, or do fantasy options kind of take a little bit of a hit because there's so many mouths to feed?
Well, I think it takes a hit. I mean, yeah, it's a deep receiver core that a lot of teams don't have, but I don't have any of them in my top, what, 35? I think I got Jackson at 36.
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I got to figure out. I've got him at 34, so I'm pretty much right there with you. I am not. I think the one guy that may kind of jump up a little bit in my rankings is Pierre Garçon. Looked decent in limited time last night.
Here we go again.
The reports from training camp are really good, and the reports on Doxson are really bad. Like, not only are there issues with conditioning, with Doxson. There are issues. People are saying he's very immature. I think there's a real chance that Doxson isn't even suiting up until probably week 5 or 6.
Isn't this so? It's fairly deep, and like it's one of those things where like week to week, like 1 week it might be Garcon, the week after that might be Crowder, like, and maybe midway through the year Doxson emerges a little bit, and then like Jackson's so frustrating because if he doesn't score you a touchdown, you ain't getting shit. So I mean, unless you're in deeper leagues, I just feel like I'm not going to be starting these guys very often.
No, and I agree with you. I don't think, I mean, I think DeSean Jackson is a wide receiver 3 on draft day, and then the rest of the guys are in the 4, 5, 6, 8 area.
Yeah.
You know, I will mention, and, you know, it's preseason, and it's the first preseason game. Ryan Grant was a guy who got a lot of looks in the game last night. He's a guy that I've always really liked. Andre Roberts is no longer on the team. If Doxson doesn't look like he's actually going to be suiting up here in the near future, Ryan Grant could emerge as a number 3 wide receiver. So just keep an eye on him in deep, deep formats as a guy that nobody else is going to be looking at all. You could probably easily stash him in a 20-team league on, you know, at the last part of your bench, or just off the waiver wire if things start to come together for him. Let's talk about Jordan Reed, because this is probably the guy I'm having one of the biggest disagreements on in fantasy football, at the tight end position, on the Redskins. I think he's extremely overrated. What are your thoughts on Jordan Reed?
Well, this is weird. I mean, what disagreements are you having? We on the website, 3 rankers have him 3 and 2 have him 2. Like, who are you disagreeing with on this one?
I'm having me and Mike have had a disagreement on kind of where his value should be. And I mean, I have him at 3. I may move him down. The hard part is, like, there's a tier. Like, you know, you've got, you know, Gronk, who's a first round pick. Then you have Olsen and Reed, and then there's a drop-off to kind of Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I don't think that drop-off is all that huge. So I'm fine not drafting Reed where he's going and then trying to get Walker, Kelce, Eifert, or Barnage. I think Olsen's definitely number 2 and not Reed. I just think Olsen, they're both really talented. They both are fairly big focal points on the offense. It's just Olsen's more consistently reliable and healthy, typically. So that's why I have
Olsen number 2. And that's the reason I have Olsen number 2.
Yeah.
I love Reed as a talent.
Me too.
But I just don't. I think the deeper, and for those of you who don't, I mean, it says it right there on the rankings page. You know, we rank based on a 12-team standard format. So, you know, we're not ranking based on PPR. We're not ranking based on, like, you know, deeper formats. You know, you're just your standard 12-team league. The deeper the format, the less I want Jordan Reed. And he's going just way higher than I'd be willing to take him. You know, and like I said, I love him as a talent, but this is a guy who's had multiple concussion issues, other injury issues throughout his career. And I just don't trust him to stay healthy. And if it's in a league in which, you know, you're, you know, let's say it's a 16-man league, that means the top 16 men or tight ends are off the board for you as your backup. Do you feel comfortable going through your season as Jordan Cameron as your starting starting tight end? Because that is a large possibility. So that to me is the biggest issue with Jordan Reed, is I don't trust him to stay on the field. Well, that is going to wrap us up today. Eli, why don't you tell people where you can reach and what you're working on?
Well, no kicker talk. You can find me on Twitter at ElifWFB, and be sure to check out Tuesday's DFS shows for baseball. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I mean, I guess we could talk about Dan Bailey, but I really just don't want to.
No, we don't have to talk about kickers. We have to rank them, Justin. We just don't have to talk about them.
Yeah, definitely check our kicker ranks, because that's super interesting. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. You can email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Definitely give us a rate and review on iTunes. That definitely helps us out. Just a big shout out to Laura Michaels of Razzball, who is the intro and exit music that you hear every week. I really appreciate him hooking us up there. And that will wrap us up. For Eli and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.